My name is John McFerrin. I'm a Blue Badge guide, and with other guides, I have the great privilege on telling the amazing story of William Lever and the village of Port Sunlight. William Lever as a businessman can be viewed equally amongst those American billionaires such as Carnegie, Rockefeller, and Ford. Lever Brothers was an international world business. The man was a human dynamo. He was against profit sharing because he felt that he knew what was best for his workforce. He thought that his workforce could share in the company's prosperity and not waste it by giving his workforce a bonus at the end of the year. Patronizing, of course, but the people living in the village of Port Sunlight had a life expectancy that was better than the national average and double that of Liverpool. You may think that Lever was a socialist, not a bit of it. He was a driven, Victorian liberal capitalist who believed in civilizing the world. However, by 1910, the village that once was the very center of the Lever Brothers' business was now only a small part of his international empire. Lever died on the 7th of May 1925 at 4:30, the time he normally got up to start work. Lever Brothers merged with Margarine Uni in 1929 to form a new company called Unilever. By the late 1990s, the Unilever board decided that looking after the village was no longer part of their core business and formed the Port Sunlight Village Trust as a charitable organization to look after the assets of the village. Today, Port Sunlight is probably the number one attraction on the Wirral Peninsula because it is such a delightful place to come and relax and just tour the village to see all those different types of architecture. There's obviously the Lady Lever Art Gallery as well, and never mind a pub and a church. Port Sunlight is ideally placed. It's halfway really between Liverpool and Chester, two of the great cities within the Northwest. And just a little bit further afar is the wonderful North Wales coastline with all its castles. It's an ideal place just to come and stay, because we have some wonderful cottages here, and you can then explore the wider area. I think the other question could be asked is, how does COVID, has it affected the guides? Some guides have had no tours whatsoever. Others have only had just one or two. And if I can put it into perspective, last year there were about 300 tours, walking tours or coach tours to the village. And on top of that, there's been over 70 Peaky Blinder tours, because Port Sunlight is the suburbs of Birmingham for the wonderful Peaky Blinders. And it is the number one for the feedback for people who come and say, what a wonderful place this is. This is a hidden gem. And it is, especially with the Lady Lever Art Gallery, the whole village, the church and everything. Absolutely wonderful. So how have I taken up all my time? Well, gardening is one. Secondly, doing lots of different research. So putting some plans in place for new tours for next year. And also we've had a new puppy dog. And that has caused mayhem, can I tell you? Absolute mayhem. But COVID has hit my business, the guiding business, very, very hard. But there are some businesses that have continued to provide a crucial link and help to all the people within the village.
Hi, I'm Mitch. I'm the plant manager at Port Sunlight Garden Centre and part of the family which runs the garden centre. My grandfather started the gardening business with Egg Buffel Nurseries, and then in my parents' generation they've bought Port Sunlight Garden Centre, and now my dad runs it, and basically I'm the next one in line as the next generation. And yeah, we're situated pretty much right in the middle of the village, right beside the old memorial. Can't miss us if you have a walk around the village anywhere, yeah.
Attention to the
We definitely have our local customers and our regulars that will be in every week without fail, and we stand by them a lot. They keep us going, really, and sort of help their mental well-being. You know, it's part of their day's walk. They go out and then they pick up a few bits for the garden, and they can obviously have a chat with a few staff, and it definitely helps them, I think, on a day-to-day basis, especially when a lot of people are on their own in the houses and can't go out and, well, shouldn't really be going out. It's good to just have a bit of a change.
And it was reduced, and I've killed every hanging basket I've ever had. I've still got it. It's still growing. It's regrowing now.
It's not a big, one of the big fuchsia ones, is it?
You've got a big, no, not fuchsia.
Starting in lockdown version one, you call it, there was a huge surge in people wanting to grow their own. Obviously, there was the big supermarket surge where there's no food left in supermarkets. And that was a massive surge for us. We sold much more grow your own vegetables, seeds, compost. Yeah, it was flying out like it was no tomorrow. When people could buy it, I think they thought that they probably wouldn't be able to buy it for the next month or so. So everyone was stocking up a season before, buying things in preparation for maybe a month down the line or maybe a few weeks down the line. And I think a lot in the younger generations are getting into it and sort of getting their gardens full of veg and other bits. Yeah, obviously everyone closed down, so that included all the suppliers. Obviously the nurseries can't stop growing, but a lot of the other side things obviously stopped their factories from working. And then when we did open up, sort of unexpectedly, there was a big huge rush of supplier issue trying to get stock. And obviously with the massive surge of new gardeners, we sold probably more than we normally would as well. So that was obviously, and it was above the normality. And I think that was nationwide. Yeah, so this is the restaurant patio. Normally at this time of the day, it'd be full of people having a good, nice lunch. And yeah, obviously that's been missing this year. Yeah, it's sad to see this space not being used, really. And we're looking forward to get it open as soon as we can.
We're Jill and Steve Hardstaff. We're resident in Port Sunlight in Bridge Street, and we've been here for approximately 10 years since my retirement. I'm a retired art school lecturer, and Jill,
a history
of fashion, in fashion and textiles.
But we are retired now and have started this little business in the village.
We have another small property at the other end of the village.
It's a two up, two down, very typical of the village cottages. But the location is beautiful. It's beautiful. It faces the museum, the art gallery, and has a splendid fountain when it's working.
In front of it, yes.
Thus I called the cottage by the fountain.
And that is an Airbnb property, so we rent it out.
We went into lockdown on the 23rd of March, 2020.
Yeah.
And so therefore, all my bookings from then on had to be cancelled.
Yeah.
I think it was 35 bookings I had then, just da-dum, cancelled. We reopened mid-July, a bit later than we legally could. And it was very challenging, actually, because the whole cleaning regime, lots of fears and concerns.
Hmm. It was the cleaning regime, really, because Airbnb, it's a delicate balance, really, of how much time you spend cleaning a property. And once that balance tilts towards a lot more time being spent, then financially it's not as viable. We did a new set of rules for guests, asking them if they would leave out items that had been used so that we could disinfect them accordingly. And we asked them if they, on leaving, would post the keys back through the door. Normally, Jill would go down and say goodbye to people, but of course we didn't do that. And we also asked if they'd leave all the windows open, which was fine if the weather was okay, but not so great if it was, dare I say, rainy. I was going to say pissing down, but I don't know. So it became very convoluted and not much fun. Yeah.
The way I was running the business was very friendly. I would greet people. I would show them round. I wanted to give them the full experience. Well, that had to stop throughout the summer when I reopened. It was hard work, and it was sad because I couldn't give them the full experience.
But the fact that the cottage, the Airbnb cottage, is opposite the fountain, and the fountain hasn't been working for some time. The cottage is advertised as cottage by the fountain, so cottage by the not working fountain. And then, of course, the double whammy of the Port Sunlight Museum being closed because of COVID, and the Lady Lever. All the attractions of that area of the village had sort of gone. I suppose because we're getting older and because it's quite hard work, this has made us think quite seriously about whether to carry on or not.
Is it about the risk more than
anything? In terms of COVID, it's the health risk, obviously. We've been quite frustrated at some point where guests have wanted to book and they didn't seem to be fully aware of the restrictions in this area at the particular time, if you see
different
what I mean.
Different times, as yeah. Many
so we've really had to underline the fact that people shouldn't be coming in some cases, and also people coming for a sort of almost the wrong reason, like to see aged parents in care homes when they wouldn't get access anyway. So I mean, we would love it to get back to some sort of normal, but I'm not that convinced that it will in the very near future.
Little things along the way have got lost. We don't know whether they'll come back again. People's feelings, people's comfort, you know, feeling at ease with each other and socialising and enjoying themselves, really.